And I feel like that's a normal goalkeeper thing. Like, you really, you know, you think about every goal that goes in and, you know, kind of analyze, and, you know, you're your hardest critic. So I was definitely thinking about those goals, but afterwards it was, you know, all celebrations, and, you know, we really did cherish that year.
Hi guys, and welcome to a new episode of the Glove Sun podcast. We're your host, Alexander Brams, and alongside me is Marcus Sundin, as always. And today we welcome back a former guest of the podcast, Mike Lansing. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's lovely to have you back, and it's been a while, so a lot have happened in your career, but in this new season, we've taken some new initiative and gotten four fire questions, so you just answer as fast as possible, and I'll go take it away.
Hit me.
Gloves on or gloves off?
In possession, I take my gloves off. I like to try and be messy, but doesn't always happen. But otherwise, gloves on. Otherwise, gloves on.
Great. Favorite goalkeeper of all time?
Casillas.
Favorite goalkeeper you have played with?
Matai. Delac.
Nice. Also a former guest of the show. Mm-hmm. And then most important aspect within goalkeeping?
The mental. I'll go along with Tor Erik, the mental.
The mental state of mind. Yeah. That's a recurring topic we always have here. And a lot of people say it's the most important thing, and it probably is one of the most important things. But let's talk about, why is Matthijs Delac your favorite goalkeeper you've played? Like, what kind of partnership did you have? Because we've had you both on before, and it sounded really good, but why was it so unique?
He was just, like, so respectful. You know, he would talk to me about, like, you know, what my next move was, or, you know, just kind of always had my back. If I was playing at the time, he was there for me. If he was playing, we kind of just had a good partnership there. And also, after I moved from there, he's always checked in. He's always, you know, asked to see how I was doing. And, you know, when I was playing, like, last year, he was always, you know, telling me he was watching the game, or, you know, was checking in on the scores and stuff. Just a very supportive guy, and I have a lot of respect for him. Now, that being said, I have a lot of respect for Sten, and I enjoy our partnership as well, and I have a lot of respect for Rinne. You know, most of the past goalkeepers I've played with, I've had a good partnership with. Yeah, but of course, Matthijs stands out. He's a top guy.
Nice. Amazing to hear, and it just sounds like that you're also a top guy, since you've had good relationships with all your goalkeeper colleagues so far. But taking it, you mentioned it yourself. So last time when we spoke to you, you were playing in Horsens, and then you moved. So where did you move, and why?
I moved to Olesund. Our coach, Larsana, is the father of Sievert, who I was playing with at the time at Horsens. And Larsana had seen a few games, and when I wanted to move from Horsens, they were quite keen on signing me for a long-term deal, and I was excited for it. They kind of made it seem like I was going to be the one, and that's what I wanted at the time. I'd seen pictures of Olesund. It looked amazing, and I said, let's do it. So then when I went up, that was kind of history. It was a good decision.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I followed along, and I saw you were playing a lot, and you guys did really well last year, and we'll get back into that. But I also saw you, like, enjoying the nature and enjoying the boys, like, going out, experiencing a lot of things. So a bit different nature from Denmark, you could say.
Yes, I would say so.
Very much. They have mountains up there. We don't in Denmark. It's much better. I also... Yeah, some might know. I've also played in Norway, just a little bit lower, but was a great experience. So the move was mostly to play. So how did it go, and how was it going from kind of a mixed situation where you played sometimes and didn't play to going into playing a lot at Olesund?
We had such a long preseason that year. We played so many inter squad scrimmages, and we played against local Division II teams, or had other clubs come in and play against us. And it was like 5 or 6 months of preseason, so there was so much time to kind of get into a rhythm. And then when the season kicked off, actually the first few games were a bit shaky. We won one or two in the first four, and then lost a couple, so it was a bit shaky. And then from there on, I think we won one or tied for the next 30 games or something like this. So it was incredible. And we had a fantastic team. So we just went into every game knowing we were either going to win or we were going to tie, but we were always going for the win, and we were flying. It was a fantastic year.
Yeah, amazing. That was the start of 2021, right? And then going into the year, and you actually ended up getting promoted. And how was the final games? I remember some drama, right?
It was a little drama, but it was a lot of fun. Thinking back on it, it was the best feeling promoting. I do remember in that promotion game, we were playing at home in front of our home crowd, and I remember both of the goals. I felt like I could have done something on. We ended up winning 4-2, but I felt like I could have done something. So when we finished that game, I still had in my heart, like, oh, I could have done better here. And I was really thinking about that rather than the idea of like, okay, we just promote it. But it was still fantastic. And it was a really, really fun experience. It was an amazing year. I really, I'm going to hold on to that for a long time.
Yeah, I understand. But if we dig back in, I think it would be interesting to know, like, how did you learn from the situation where you win 4-2 and you think you could have done more with the two goals, but you didn't like celebrate that much with the whole thing because you were thinking about the goals too much? How have you been dealing with that since, and what have you learned from it?
Since it's, that was kind of just on the day, I was like, I could. And I feel like that's a normal goalkeeper thing. Like, you really, you think about every goal that goes in and, kind of analyze, and, you're your hardest critic. So I was definitely thinking about those goals, but afterwards it was, all celebrations, and, we really did cherish that year.
Yeah, it sounded like a great year, but then some people might know you suddenly the club decided to get you a very tough competitor in Sten Gudebyrst, who is Danish listeners will know him because he's played at Odense Boldklub and where he won Superliga Goalkeeper of the Year twice, I think so. And then he went to Copenhagen, where he also kind of had a roller coaster experience. And then he probably wanted, as you did in Horsens, something more secure. And that's when Olofsson probably became the ideal. So you got a very tough competitor. How was that?
It was very tough. I would say last year was my most tough mental year, I would say. Mm-hmm. When he first came in, it was all kind of up in the air. Tor Erik had come in and he was playing some of the preseason matches, and they had told me that they were going to bring someone in to compete with me, and I had to get this groin surgery because I played the previous year on this Gilmore's groin. And I said, fair enough, when whoever comes in, like, I'll fight it out and I'll win the spot. And then in the airport on the way back from, I think it was Marbella, they just said, like, we're thinking we might bring in Sten. And 20 minutes later, there's a video out and, it's announced that he's there. So I was, my heart dropped because I knew that it was going to be him. Of course, like, I'm confident in my abilities and things, but I knew the writing was on the wall, and I was like, okay, like, I need to, sort this out. They had told me that it was going to be a fair fight and all these things, but I ended up getting maybe 20 minutes and two preseason matches, and it was, I knew it was going to be him. And he, listen, credit to him. He played outstanding this past year, and he was making some saves that not humanly possible. He was really incredible. And yeah, so I took on the second string role again and was not happy about it. Of course, coming into training and dealing with teammates and all these things, I put on, you know, the face. You know, yeah. I really tried my best to be a good teammate and all these things. I was the boot chef. I was there for all the guys, but it was not an easy task. And, you know, sometimes when I would go home, I was, you know, that's where it was rough, especially in the winter, as you know, in Norway, the winters are not so kind. And the sun goes down at 2:30, 3 o'clock, and, you know, you're in darkness. Family and friends are in the States, and, you know, it wasn't easy. But when the sun started coming out, then it was out to adventures and take advantage off the pitch as much as I could. So, and that was kind of my idea of like keeping my mental state in the right place, you know, kind of just take care of things off the pitch.
Yeah. And as you mentioned yourself, like the mental aspect is important, and it's not just only on the field or in training or in the games. It's also off the field, as you say. And it sounded like a rough thing. I would also, if I thought I was secure one place and then someone comes in who's a national team goalkeeper and you just like, wow, that would also be like the shock, like the heart dropped and everything. I completely understand that. And also sounded like, you don't have to answer this, but it also sounded like kind of an unfair treatment where they had a clear number one the year before and then they bring in someone and they don't really share the time. But I mean, it is what it is. And how did you then push through and kept developing? We heard from Tor Erik a few weeks back, who's a goalkeeper colleague of yours, that you guys have a great environment in training. So how had that helped you still develop? And by the way, Tor Erik also said that you are way too good to be a backup. So go ahead.
I appreciate the kind words from him. And he's also, you know, too good to be a backup as well, and he should be playing games. And I've had many conversations with him as well about, you know, the idea of playing or being a backup and, you know, the importance of playing. But, you know, of course, like I said in the beginning, it was very tough. You know, I was just coming back from the injury, and it was difficult to, most importantly for me, it was to raise my level to, you know, get back to full fitness and everything. And then, you know, in training, it was just like about all three of us just pushing each other. And, you know, when we play small sided, it was just about winning games. And it was kind of just like, for me, I would just kind of turn my brain off a little bit in training and just go. And Sten was a big advocate for holding as many balls as you could. So a lot of balls that I would normally parry, it was trying to start catching balls more often. So there was a lot of focus on that. And then we talked about technique and all these things, and it was a good year of training per se.
That's awesome, Mike. And I've obviously just been listening here in the beginning of the episode, and I really appreciate your honesty in the episode as well. And as you mentioned that, from your perspective, the most important aspect within goalkeeping is the mentality. And the mentality is something Alex and I really emphasize talking about here on the podcast, because it is not only in our position, but if you ask me, I think it's goalkeeping is different, as we talk about, from other positions. Because if you aren't the starter as a, let's say, a right back, sometimes you get in on the left back or you get in on the right wing to play the last 20 minutes to defend the game, this and that. So I want to talk a little bit about, we obviously talked about your career lately, where you were at Horsens behind the Delac, and then finally get to Ålesund and finally find the joy for the game again, I could imagine, and promote with the team. And then, as you mentioned, the mental struggle of then just bringing in another goalkeeper to take over your spot. And I think, at least I can only talk for myself, of course, but I think there is a lot of listeners out there that can really relate to that situation you mentioned there. So could you talk us through a little bit about, first of all, how it was, but also how you cope with it? I know you said that it was important for you to do things off the field. Do you have a few tips for the goalkeepers out there that might struggle a little bit mentally with not playing or finding the motivation and the passion for the sport at the moment?
Well, something that I've learned in my career is motivation is not so much a factor as consistency. You know, showing up every day and doing the work, and you know, you don't feel motivated to go to the gym, but you do it anyways. And if you keep doing that enough, you know, you get in a routine and everything. So it was about showing up every day for training. And you know, of course, I had to remind myself sometimes, like, enjoy this. Like, you're the second string. You're not getting put on, like, right now. Just enjoy it. Like, because I would take training too serious sometimes, or, you know, be a bit too hard on myself. And as the number two, it's like I said before, you have to take care of the mental. So you also have to treat yourself well. And that's where off the pitch, I was doing as much as I was filling all my time with adventure, spearfishing, fishing, camping, hiking, doing as much as I could while also taking care of the football. But I have other interests as well. So I was making sure that I was doing that to make sure that I was still, you know, happy and content with my life. Because also being away from family and friends and stuff is not easy. And then to be the number two after having such a good year the year before, it was a huge, you know, drop off the mountain. So it was tough, you know, there's no way around that. But it was like a constant work, you know, whether I take a meeting with a sports psychologist or, you know, be open with my friends about how it's going. You know, these are the important things, but also enjoying the small things. We have table tennis at our club. I would, you know, play that as much as I could at the club. You know, and then just trying to make sure I still enjoyed football. And, you know, I enjoy trying to perfect the craft. So in the goalkeeper training, you know, really making sure I was on top of my technique and, you know, really pushing myself. But we had other guys to push me as well, and I was trying to push them, and we had a good level in training, so it was enjoyable, you know. But of course, it's a constant work on the mental. I don't think anyone has 100% grasp on what's going on, so I think it's just, you know, constant work.
Love it. And I think what you just said there is very important, because it made me think of that doing times where I haven't been the starter. I went to training, and I'm just being completely honest right now. I went to training wanting the other goalkeeper to mess up, or I wanted to not really to be consistent in everything I do. I just wanted to make this outstanding save in front of the head coach. And I thought that at that time, I thought that was the thing that would, oh, he just made that save, why is he not playing? Where I think, as you said, where a head coach really can find trust in you is where you stay consistent, you do your work, you keep your head in the game. And I know it's easier said than done, of course, like when you're in the situation, it's a mental struggle. But thinking about that and you mentioning that is, I think it's a key takeaway, because as I said, it's not about thinking about getting the other goalkeeper injured or him to mess up over and over again and to mistrust in the head coach. But as you said, it's about staying consistent. And when you say staying consistent, it's obviously when you're in the program, I know it's different. Obviously, you have to show up to your job on a daily basis. It's not like you can say, oh, I'm not coming today, I don't have the passion. It's your job. You have to show up because you're on a contract. But with that being said, going into a session where you obviously know that, let's say, for example, now Steen is the first choice and you go into a goalkeeper session, you obviously get the same amount of reps. But then going into playing with the team, how do you see that as a difference, obviously? Because then if you have a shooting drill, there might be a bigger emphasis on focusing on Steen in the build-up or something like that, because he's got to be ready in the weekend. How do you see that from a second choice perspective?
Well, I was going to go back to a point you made earlier about like having to show up and all these things. There were plenty of days this past year where I did not want to go to training. You know, I would, you know, maybe not go to sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning, just like I couldn't sleep or something. And I was just like, I want to message my physio and just be like, I'm not coming, you know, or, you know, early on when Sten got signed, you know, I'm taking a few drinks at night and I'm like, you know, maybe the day before an off day or something. And I'm just like, I don't enjoy going into training or something. So it's not like, you know, I've enjoyed every day this year. You know what I mean? It's been a battle. But like I said, it's just about showing up, you know, still going in no matter what. But of course, I think there's people that could have taken an off day and just been like, okay, I need to take a step back from this. And I think that's perfectly okay. You know, that's healthy. But yeah. But back to the thing with the shooting drills and stuff. My mentality was never like I'm the number two in training. You know, every day when we play, you know, five aside or something, I'm trying to win. You know, I want to make sure my team wins. I hate losing, you know, so that was my mentality. But of course, when we go into like build up play and stuff, you know, Sten is first in line in the, you know, the pecking order. So, you know, but we would still take the same amount of reps. You know, if we do crosses or whatever, we're still taking the same amount of reps. So, I didn't really feel like a number two in training until we were doing, you know, I don't know, some set piece stuff or, you know, the starting 11 would go on one side and the second team would go on the other. You know, that's when you start feeling like a two, you know, and the coach just talks to the starting 11 and then, you know, the other guys are, you know, waiting around or something. But this is a part of it, you know.
Of course. And something just came to my mind that I think a struggle of being a second choice is different from being a third choice, because as the second choice, you still need to have the mindset of being ready at any time. It could be during the game, if an injury happens, a red card, you suddenly have to go on and perform. Mm-hmm. Or during the weekend training, the first choice can suddenly get an injury and then, oh, you have 2 days to prepare. Whereas mm-hmm. the third choice is more like a little, I don't know how to say it, but like a safe spot where, oh, if you have the first choice getting injured or the scenarios I just provided, then you still have the second choice in front of you, and then you finally get some thought to your head. But how do you see the difference on that? I don't know, obviously, if you have been the third choice before, but as Alex also mentioned, we had Tor on, which is an episode we launched before this, and he's obviously mm-hmm. the third choice in your club right now. And to be completely honest, he mentioned that he kind of, obviously this is, I think it's his first pro contract with a pro club. So he said like, he doesn't mind this current situation, you know, getting the experience in a pro environment and being in a spot where, oh, I'm the third choice and I'm just getting a feeling of how it is being a pro, and I don't really have the big pressure from behind. I don't know mm-hmm. how you see that.
Well, so for him this year as a number three, he also just came out of college. He wanted to get his foot in the door. He, listening to the podcast, like he did so much work to try and just get, you know, his foot in the door. And, you know, props to him for doing it and getting himself on Olesund, because I remember training with him one time and I'm just like, hey, like, you know, this is before he signed. And I had said, like, you know, try and get yourself on like, you know, a second tier team and, you know, work your way into the starting spot. And then like a week later, he was signed to our club. And I was like, all right, like, you know, good for him. But for him, he was playing most of the second team games. They weren't necessarily in line with the first team games, so there weren't that many games where I could play those. And then it was also, I think it was more beneficial for him at the time to be playing those games. At the end of the season, I started playing those games because he got put on loan to Blink. And, you know, for him to have those games, it made him focus. And, you know, I think it was good for him to have those games. And he conceded very few goals, so it was also very impressive. earlier in my career, when I was a number two at Vila or Aalborg, it was kind of like I had this feeling in my gut where I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this, you know. And I was very nervous, you know, if I had to play or something like this. But, you know, that all changed when I went to Horsens. And of course, at Ålesund, you know, different mentality. But early in my career, I was like, okay, I have to accept my role as a two and kind of like wait my turn. And I don't know if there's ever a time where you're like, okay, I'm ready. It's just like you have to do it and you have to face it and then, you know, kind of work your way into it. But I think, you know, at 22 coming out of college, it was like, okay, I know I need to wait my turn behind like some big players. And then when I got my opportunity to play, I just kind of took it. But I also, going back in my career, I probably sat on the bench 100 games at this point. And, you know, every single game you're like, okay, am I going to get in? And I've learned after the first couple of years where I'm sitting there like, okay, am I going to get in? Like, wasn't healthy. And it was like, okay, if I do get in, you know, I have the right tools to, you know, have a good match and things like this. And I just kind of had to accept it a bit more, I think, later in my career.
Yeah, I mean, one of my coaches told me there is less than a 1% chance for a backup goalie to get in. And I've sat a lot on the bench too. And it's, I mean, you just got to find a way to enjoy it and accept it and realize you actually have the best seats in the stadium as well. So that's a whole nother note. And then also you guys were talking a bit about second and third choice, and then you don't know as a third choice when you will even get close to a chance. From what I have known, and like I think I heard the story, Yacine Bonneau right now, the Moroccan goalkeeper who's a superstar now, mm-hmm. He was the third choice in Sevilla in 2020. And then the next year he beat, like there came some injuries and he was just unstoppable. And he is, ever since, he haven't looked back. Now he has 76 apps for Sevilla and he's a beast just because he was waiting for the opportunity and then he just got the opportunity and outstanding now, just flowing with confidence. And I could imagine that last year you were filled with confidence and then out of nowhere, probably in that day where you got the message with Sten, that's just where your confidence disappears. And it's crazy how confidence can just disappear like that. Have you tried to gain back confidence if you've lost it, but I'm just assuming, in a sense during this year?
I actually wouldn't say that I lost any confidence when they brought him on. I was still very confident in my abilities and mm-hmm. I felt as if I could play at any club in Norway, but it was just kind of like the writing was on the wall, like, you know, that he was going to be the guy and I couldn't do so much, you know?
No.
So I didn't necessarily lose my confidence and, you know, yeah, I can't say that I lost it, but, yeah, I don't really have so much.
No, no, no. Yeah. Good enough answer. Good enough answer. And just also looking back in this episode, it's been absolutely great. And you can't have 365 great days, of course. Everybody has bad days. I've also recently, when I've been in Rome, like I've had days where I don't want to go to train just because I thought it wasn't worth my time going, and stuff like that. And that's just something you have to work with and either talk to someone about it or figure it out yourself. So while we're all in this mental talk, so usually in the end of the podcast, we talk about what your favorite gloves are and why, but we already know that you're still with KLA, right?
I'm still with KLA.
Still with KLA, and they're still good. So another question that we usually have is that who is your favorite athlete, any sport, from a mental or mentality, that could be a Mamba mentality or Jordan or a Tiger, Roger Federer. We've had different answers here on the pod. Federer is a great one that we've had. Yeah, go ahead.
That's a tough one, and I think if you gave me time, I could probably give you a good one. Mm-hmm. But I would go with a Jordan or a Kobe, of course. But yeah, there's also so much coverage on those guys, so you know their mentality is very in the forefront. But I'm sure there's guys that have some crazy underdog stories who have, you know, gone through everything and made it through. So, but you know, right now I'm thinking of those guys. You know,
yeah. Yeah, of course. There might be an American bias in that particular situation.
There might be.
But yeah, as you say, there's so many underdog stories, like underdog stories of Conor McGregor, of Jamie Vardy probably having been like going from nothing to everything. Crazy stories. And that's all the blockbusters people can watch out there. But all right, yeah. We could keep talking about goalkeeping and talking about the everyday life of a goalkeeper. And Mike, we're just happy that you wanted to join us again and update us on your situation. And we hope again that in 1.5-2 years, you would jump back on the pod and tell us how it's been and how your situation has developed. So right now, we talked before the pod, you are kind of exploring other options, correct?
Correct. Well, I'm very open with, you know, the sports director on how I'm feeling and stuff. And, mm-hmm. You know, he knows that I don't want to be a number two. And so we're looking to find a good solution, you know, whether it be to extend and go on loan or, go on loan.
Yeah. We'll have to see. How would you feel about going back to America?
Open. You know, I'm open. I love Europe, though. Like, mm-hmm. It's really become a second home, and I'm impressed everywhere I go. But if the States come calling, then, you know, I'm also open to that.
Yeah, nice. I mean, when we met a few weeks ago, you didn't seem that American. You were a bit, instead of Americanized, you were Europeanized. How you say, I don't know if that's a word, but great.
I love
Mike.
The culture.
Me too. Mike, thank you so much for joining us again. Been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And congrats to having so many episodes out there. It's fantastic.
Thank you. As you said yourself, consistency is key.
That is true. Well done.
And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On Podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On Podcast.